This week in the Parish of Bourses and market structure, there's a smooth Bravo Nasdaq sale as the Ice Age opens a $15 billion gap. My name is Patrick L. Young. Welcome to the Bourse Business Weekly Digest. It's the Exchange Invest Weekly Podcast, episode 256. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very brief reduction of highlights amongst the key headlines from the week in market structure. All the analysis of the many events and happenings from the past 7 days can be found in Exchange Invest's daily subscriber newsletter, the unique guide to the bourse business sent daily to your inbox. More details at exchangeinvest.com. Over in Bit Carnage, no wonder the aim is just to buy the US government and be done with it. The big crypto exchanges have a horrible track record of periodic failure, which if it were to happen in the legacy exchange space, there would be immediate management change and vast apologies. Meanwhile, in crypto, Coinbase UK, a unit fined $4.5 million by British regulator over high-risk customer breaches. Later in the week, the sting in the tail was from Molly White. Could it be that Coin have violated campaign finance laws to the tune of $25 million? If you enjoyed reading this excerpt, you may be interested to know you can read BitCarnage every day on Exchange Invest. Alternatively, if you'd like to follow BitCarnage, the daily update on happenings in the world of crypto and digital assets, you can find BitCarnage as a standalone on Substack. In the exchange world, the Ice Age continues apace. For those who are still in doubt that this is the Ice Age, Nasdaq stock has risen 19% in 2024, and another share has moved in equal proportion. That is, of course, the Intercontinental Exchange. The rise in the ICE and Nasdaq valuations is a marked contrast to the becalmed dollar monopoly milker CME. Their stock is down 4.5% this year. That leaves the consolidated CME market cap at $71 billion, a staggering $15.8 billion behind ICE. Dynamic management or monopoly milking? I think the market has made a clear decision. Meanwhile, Nasdaq is suddenly in a very, very interesting position as regards stock re-rating. Initial scepticism on Adenza appears to be misplaced. As expected, Adina Friedman's team have integrated these assets already with gusto. Meanwhile, the cap table has had a truly torrid upheaval, and yet the demand for the stock is considerable. In barely the more than a quarter, Bursa Dubai have sold 30 million shares, and now Thoma Bravo are settling, as we record this, on 41.6 million shares sold. Discounts are negligible, $129 for the Dubai sale, $166 for the larger Bravo trade. A frictional discount, definitely not sufficient to incentivize buyers per se. In the meanwhile, despite knowing the Bravo first tranche sale was looming, Nasdaq stock has risen 10%. Cynics might say there's now an overhang to May 1st, 2025, and the remaining 7.4% of Nasdaq stock exits lockup. That's 42,804,207 shares held by Thoma Bravo. However, I disagree. This is a stock which has risen 10% while an eighth of the entire cap table has changed in a little over 18 weeks. Buyers will be ready this time next year to get anything they can with a dollar or so discount, methinks. After these two mega block sales, Nasdaq is reinventing tomorrow on its cap table, and there's a clear vote of confidence in Adina and the team here. All the rest of this story was in Exchange Invest this week. Can you afford not to be a member of the Exchange of Information?
Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly. We welcome your feedback. You can contact me directly, patrick@derivativesvision.com, with any comments. Meanwhile, if you enjoyed this show, we would welcome you giving us a thumbs up. Or, if you have time, a positive review will always be welcome, wherever you find this podcast.
In Asia, Typhoon Gaimei caused enormous damage and not inconsiderable loss of life in the Philippines and Taiwan, forcing both nations to close their stock markets for several days. Our must-read of the week was from Jeff Cutler at GARP. Is the too-big-to-fail designation too constricting? My concern with this topic is the big question the blob doesn't want anybody to ask. Are regulators too systemic to be trusted or just too big to fail? The EU is busy adding its own rules on tech, which amount to yet another horrific waste of time, adding moats to moats, which will only harm markets and leave us all poorer. This is the kind of stuff which marks out the chasm between Kamala versus Donald 2024. She's instinctively left-wing and thus pro ever crazier regulation, while Donald may be protectionist isolationist, but when it comes to regulation overall, somewhat abolitionist. If you're looking for a magnificent exchange building to add to your property portfolio, the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, Minneapolis, Minnesota, is for sale. The historic three-building MGEX complex includes that magnificent temple of grain trading at its core, the original floor, with multi-storied vaulted windows to catch the light even in the midst of the shortest days during Midwestern winter. It was a frantic week for results in the parish. All the details were in Exchange Invest Daily, the newsletter no person can afford to be without in capital markets and market structure. For the sake of this podcast, a few edited highlights. CME was so-so compared to an ebullient NASDAQ, a magnificent trade web and a truly spectacular Dubai financial market. In deals this week, no deals per se, but in the FT, Stefan Buchner came out swinging after decent Euronext results this week, decent for Europe that is, noting Euronext is ready to strike with further acquisitions. Exchange Invest is proud to have launched a special edition inspired by my visit to ring the closing bell at the New York Stock Exchange on July 5, 2024. Patrick L. Young's original bestseller, Capital Market Revolution, the first breakthrough book in fintech a decade before that word held common currency, has over 10,000 new words of additional pith, placing the past quarter century in perspective alongside the original text, which has proven remarkably successful through the years. Capital Market Revolution 25th Anniversary Edition is published by Exchange Invest and is now available as an ebook via Amazon Kindle at a ludicrously reasonable price of $9.99, a quarter of the price of the original, shorter print book a quarter century ago. It's summertime now. We're going on a hiatus during the month of August, but if you fancy some financial insights with moving pictures, check out our live stream. Don't forget to diarise our return in September, Tuesdays, 5 o'clock London time, midday New York time, the IPO video live show. Catch the back episodes on LinkedIn and YouTube via IPO-Vid. Now online, our last show before the summer hiatus, we had a magnificent IPO Vid number 150, devoted to cycles, the mysterious forces that trigger events, with our guest, Dr. Richard Smith. Our finance book of the week this week is The Price of Fish, A New Approach to Wicked Economics and Better Decisions by Michael Minnelli and Ian Harris, which reveals the meaning of real commerce, the complex way in which people and organisations communicate with each other every day. Michael Minnelli is currently Lord Mayor of the City of London and was our IPO video guest on episode number 25, The Sustainable City and Beyond. Product news this week, China is weighing a tenfold increase on high-frequency traders, while Fortune reports, forget the pundits and the pollies, internet prediction markets anticipated Biden's withdrawal weeks ago. And yet, I have to add, still the CFTC is trying to deny the US the onshore political markets it deserves. What a shame. Technology news this week, the Management Board of the Warsaw Stock Exchange has set the planned production launch date of the new GPW Watts trading system to 10th of November 2025. That's the much-delayed Watts system, I would hasten to add. In regulation, as the new SEC chief vows to restore confidence in the Thai stock market, the US CFTC has approved a final rule allowing US introducing brokers direct access to registered foreign board of trade for the submission of customer orders. Hooray! The final rules permit a foreign board of trade, FBOT, registered with the CFTC to provide direct access to its electronic trading and order matching system to an introducing broker located in the United States and registered with the CFTC for the submission of customer orders to the FBOT's trading system for execution. Meanwhile, the European Union produced some fairly impenetrable notes all about DORA. I read a few posts on the minutiae of this and my eyes glazed over. That means either I'm a bit slow on the uptake, no sniggering at the back please, or quite feasibly this is absurdly prescriptive stuff from regulators about digital operational resilience. Let's leave for now the side issue, said regulators are broadly analogue in the first place. This is not a plausible regulation. It's a dead tree looking for Europe's answer to Xavier Millet to get his chainsaw moving through the red tape. In career paths, I'm truly sorry to write this note, as John Tuttle has played an outstanding role contributing to the success of ICNIC during the ICE rebuild of the New York Stock Exchange to a better-than-ever status in the more competitive world. However, NYSE's long-standing pitch man for IPOs, John Tuttle, is going to be leaving the exchange for, after 17 years, to become president of reinsurance business Acrisure back in the Midwest, where he comes from. Unstintingly polite and astute, John has a razor-sharp understanding of key issues and built a remarkable rapport with issuers and major players around the world on behalf of ICE and IC. After my recent visit to New York, I can appreciate more readily than ever the depth of talent that is radiating around the most famous building on Wall Street. No doubt a superbly capable replacement will be found soon. However, John will, nonetheless, prove a very hard act to follow. The parish's loss is insurance's gain, while doubtless John will be happy to be returning to his Midwestern roots. I wish John every success in the future, whatever path he chooses. Our parish is much the richer for his 17 years of service with Ice Nicey, and we must all thank John for his success. In the wake of the recent announcements of the ICMO Stephanie Dobbs Brown, and just as I mentioned a moment ago, the move of John Tuttle to exciting reinsurance new pastures as president of Acrisure, these things clearly come in threes. It's a fond farewell to the excellent Josh King, who's leaving ICE, where he shaped the post-Nicey deal global comms team. With a remarkable series of achievements intact, the word on the street suggests Josh may be heading to a very exciting new spot elsewhere in markets adjacent to the parish. I wish Josh all the very, very best with his next move and salute the excellent job he did from the Nicey offices, building a corporate framework for the ICE group. Josh's brilliant Inside the Ice House podcast will have as its final guest under his suzerainty none other than Jeff Sprecher himself this week for what ought to be another magnificent show. In India, NPCI's Praveena Rai has emerged as a frontrunner for the MCX CEO role, while the Dar es Salaam Stock Exchange has appointed Ms. Mary S. Nawasa as its acting CEO. The chief legal counsel is stepping up in the interim as CEO Moremi Marwa departs after 9 years. Over in Big World, in a month which has seen US politics largely in the you-couldn't-make-this-up-if-you-tried camp, largely exposing the news media as staggeringly useless, and as for the Democratic Party, they look so amateur they could rival their UK socialist cousins, the Conservatives. However, it's a week since LSEG shareholder Microsoft and CrowdStrike managed the world's most successful network failure, which led to one event somewhat overshadowed by Joe Brezhnev being presumably waterboarded in Nancy Pelosi's gelato fridge until he abandoned his re-election campaign. Our sources tell us it was Hawaiian coconut choc chip which caused Joe to finally relent. And let's face it, how can you accuse us of being any less accurate than the mainstream media? Beyond ridiculing the media, it's worth noting the Microsoft crowd disaster led to a lot of planes being cancelled, including those scheduled out of Milwaukee and the related area post the GOP convention. Apparently, Chicago's disaster area cum hub carrier United Airlines managed to give multiple RNC attendees vouchers to a Chicago area Holiday Inn that's now a migrant shelter and closed to the public. You can't make this up. And on that mysterious and magnificent note, thank you for listening to this Exchange Invest Weekly Podcast number 256. Join us daily via exchangeinvest.com. Or if you have a new exchange you would like built, get in touch. My name is Patrick L. Young, and I wish you a great week in life and markets.
This show relates to the business of bourses. It is not to be construed as investment advice, nor are we making any investment recommendations. Please consult an investment advisor before you make any investments, and for goodness sake, do your due diligence and do not make investments without complying with the regulations in your home state. Exchange Invest cannot be held responsible for any investment decisions made as a result of our program, which is for entertainment purposes only. The material herein is copyright Patrick L. Young at the date of publication, while our music and sound effects are sourced from copyright-free sources. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly, the exchange of information.